And good morning, Cora, and good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company with us here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. As I was driving into the studio this morning, it was 2 degrees and incredibly foggy, and I was taking it very easy on the roads. Hope the rest of you are as well. Wherever you're listening from this morning, whether you're in your car, whether you're on a bus or on a train, whether you are travelling, well, not many of us are travelling at the moment. Whatever you're doing, whether you're at home having a coffee, whether you're a first-time listener or one of our faithful listeners who's been listening with us for the last 5 years, great to have you with us on our regular Thursday morning program. And, well, there's lots happening and there's not so much happening. It's kind of one of those strange groundhog experiences, isn't it? Many of us are back in lockdown. Many of you listening this morning will be facing another 5 weeks together with me. We take social distancing very seriously here at the studio. So we're being very careful. And our guests at the moment are all online. And this morning, one of the advantages, of course, of online technology is that we can talk to people all over the place. And so we're absolutely delighted this morning to have someone all the way from Queensland. I think we're a little bit envious this morning that we're sitting here at 2 degrees and I'm just trying to warm up. Even the microphone's got ice on it. No, it hasn't really. But we are, one of our, semi-regular special guests on the studio, in the studio here, of course, is Megan Buntine. Hi, Megan. You're all the way in Queensland. We're very envious. Can you see the ice on the microphone here? We're just having a technical challenge there. Mm-hmm. Try again. We'll try again, Megan.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, there we go.
Yeah, awesome. So, yes, as I was saying, it's pretty cold here too. It's not much different to what it is in the Yarra Valley. It's about 2 degrees and it's pea-soup fog and there was frost on the ground this morning. So we're hoping the fog will burn off and we'll have a nice sunny day.
Wow, and just tell our listeners exactly where you are in Queensland.
So as good little Mexicans, we ran the border at Texas, and so we came north from Texas to a little place called Inglewood. So we're about 15 k's east of Inglewood at Lake Coolmunda at the moment, and it's just stunning. So we're here for a few days before we head into Brizzy tomorrow to spend some time with family.
Wow. We are very envious. I am very envious because I was supposed to be up there next week myself and obviously got caught in the should we say the COVID restrictions, Megan? So
yeah.
You better enjoy yourself double for you and me as well. So there you go.
Will do. Yes.
But in saying that, we really do appreciate the fact that even though you're on holidays, that you have taken time out to spend an hour with us this morning. So thanks for that. I don't know.
You're welcome.
Where you're actually sitting, whether you're in a caravan or a motel or exactly what you're doing, but
I'm in our cozy little caravan with the diesel heater blaring.
wonderful. That's absolutely terrific. And as I mentioned on the introduction, of course, there are advantages in this social distancing, our online environment, because, we can talk to people on radio like you 2,000 Ks away or whatever it is up there.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the silver linings, I guess, that's come out of all these changes we've had over the last, 4 months now. And, you know, for people, I'm a bit of a Luddite, I have to admit, so it's forced me to embrace technology a bit more to communicate during the stay-at-home period, stay-at-home 2.0 now as it is for some people, but certainly last time around. So I think it's been interesting, this is just one example of how we can use technology to enable us to communicate more during times like this, but I think it's really important for our community organisations too to start embracing the technology. And I've seen a lot of them doing it really well, particularly, you know, in the first instance when we're all having to do this across the state and across the country indeed.
Fantastic. And so that's what we've chosen for our theme this morning is embracing technology. You're listening to Megan Buntine and Bruce Argyle and here on Community Conversations. Megan is a... Well, she's a whole lot of things. She's travelling at the moment, so it's very appropriate that we pick this first song for you, Megan, and let's have a listen and then we'll come back and talk about how we embrace technology in these challenging times.
Thank you. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend. You know the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. You know the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. I didn't have no pharaoh, not even no place to go. And my dear mother left me when I was quite young, when I was quite young. And my dear mother left me when I was quite young, when I was quite young. She said, Lord, have mercy on my wicked son.
And that was Canned Heat, On the Road Again. And our theme this morning for our Community Conversations program is embracing technology. My very special guest, all the way from Queensland, appropriately on the road again, is Megan Buntine from MJB Consulting. Megan is a strategic planner, runs workshops, is a trainer, has supported the not-for-profit and community sector in all sorts of different ways over the recent, well, not just the recent months, but for a long time now. I don't know how long you've been doing this work, Megan, but I know you provide lots of free resources and supports for not-for-profits and community groups, and that's your real passion. So how long have you been doing this?
Well, I guess I've been involved with community organisations probably, gosh, since I was a teenager, really. You got involved with committees and boards and those sorts of things, worked for community organisations, worked for government in roles that supported community organisations, and then started up sort of this business about 10 years ago, actually going out and working really in targeted ways with not-for-profits and helping them around their good governance practice and their strategic planning and just, you know, general sort of troubleshooting, I guess, policy development, a whole range of things. Call me a jack of all trades.
Jack of the not-for-profit sector support systems. Which is fantastic, and commend you for what you're doing. And because at the moment, not-for-profits, not just because it's the middle of winter, we're in COVID-19, we've just come through bushfires, and I know you've been doing a lot of workshops in terms of governance and that for organisations that were affected by bushfires. Now we're having to, as we say, embrace this new technology, Megan. And just what does that mean for organisations? And how are we doing? Are we passing? Are we failing?
I think it's a really interesting question. And I think the point that you just made about it's wintertime, and I do see ordinarily in wintertime community sector sort of slows down a bit, because oftentimes it's people who are retired who are particularly active in community organisations. Not to say that it's all retirees, but a good chunk of our volunteer workforce tends to head north in the colder months down south, at least.
Yes.
So it is a quieter time, but certainly this is a different winter to previous winters, obviously because of the COVID stuff. So I think
What are you seeing, Megan? What are you in the groups? The community groups and that you are interacting with, what are you seeing them do for our listeners? What typically are not-for-profits, other organisations doing with their online? Just describe that for us.
Seeing a lot of exactly what we're doing now, you know, Zoom meetings, organisations having their committee meetings online, they're having their AGMs online. Even just simple things where they can't, if the nature of what they do is very much about face-to-face interaction, they're doing things like having Zoom drinks or Zoom dinners or those sorts of things. So I think a lot more people are becoming connected in those sorts of ways. And it's been interesting to see even, a few of the organisations that I do some work for, and I've talked to their CEOs, and they're organising with their teams to do Friday night drinks via Zoom, just as a bit of a wind down at the end of the week. I did a bit of a debrief and just that importance of keeping in touch with people in different ways, because I think perhaps we don't realise how important that sort of that just interaction, that informal social interaction that we have, whether it's at work, if we work for a not-for-profit or with the community groups we're involved in, above and beyond the actual doing of what our statement of purposes is, but just that social stuff. So how do we ensure that we're still doing some of that stuff and keeping people connected? And, you know, it's, a lot of it's about the mental health benefits of that sort of stuff.
Mm. And how do you think we're doing? Do you think we are passing or failing or adapting? What do you think typically you're seeing?
I think lockdown 1.0 was a bit scary for a lot of us. I think this time around, people sort of know a bit more what to expect, and yes, it's inconvenient and there's frustrations and so forth, but I think from a mental health perspective, in some ways people are managing a bit better. I think just the fear of the unknown first time around, really. I mean, what does it mean? How long is it going to go on for, and so on? So, yeah, I think people are managing as well as you can, I guess, in these sorts of circumstances. Obviously, some people are still doing it really tough. But, you know, I was talking to a colleague just the other day, and he's in one of the Melbourne lockdown suburbs, and he's a bit of an introvert. And I said to him, you know, how are you going with lockdown 2.0? And he said, I'm actually really enjoying it.
yes. So,
he works with people who have disabilities, particularly people who have autism. So to be able to do his consultations via Zoom and things like that is actually really good for his clients, because they don't have to come to him. They're in their own environment. They're not having to eyeball a person. They're talking to a computer. So, it's going well for people who have autism spectrum disorders.
Fantastic. And, of course, as you have flagged already, we're able to connect with people all over the place. We're not confined to the studio, shall we say, Megan.
Yeah, indeed. And even, you know, internationally, I've certainly been connecting with people more internationally over the last 4 months. I mean, we would do the odd, you know, Skype with people from time to time, but using things like WhatsApp, which is really, it's just like texting, but being able to text people overseas and also do little video chats with them and so forth. I think it just really opens up, makes the world a lot more accessible.
And obviously there's pitfalls and there's ways that we can do it well. What are your hot tips, putting you on the spot, to running a good online meeting, to running a good Zoom meeting? I mean, do we run longer meetings, shorter meetings? Do we include people differently? What are the tips, you know, in terms of running a good online meeting?
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny one that I was on a Zoom meeting the other day with a number of different community groups, and one of the women was saying that they'd had their committee meeting online recently, and the president's husband walked past in his underwear in the background. So I think a good tip is to make sure that you've got a solid background that people can't walk behind you.
Yes, I've heard a few scary stories like that myself.
Yeah. I think another good tip is to make sure that anyone who's not talking has their sound on mute.
Yes.
Because it stops a lot of the feedback and interference. That's one that I've learned. I think, you know, from a more serious point of view, for example, the one that the Bendigo Bank ran recently that I was involved with for community groups, I think the way the facilitator ran that was really effective in the way that she had there was about a dozen of us involved, and each person, she targeted each person with a specific question. So she was really engaging every single person in the conversation, because I see often it can be, through no fault of anyone's, but it can be easy for a number of participants to just sit there with their mic muted and not actually be participating in the meeting and the conversation and the discussion that's being had. So I think by having a good facilitator like that who's able to draw people in with targeted questions is a really good way of engaging people.
Yes, and Megan, would you be thinking that you would run shorter meetings, or you'd break them up as well? Or how
certainly,
do you...
I think so. I was talking to somebody the other day who does training as well, and she was saying that they do a full day training. They're still doing it on Zoom, but they're breaking it into 2-hour blocks and having half hour breaks in between, because I think it is quite draining sitting on Zoom all
when
day.
We get zoomed out day. Or WebExed out.
Yes. And I think because you've got you're sort of concentrating on the screen and the audio, and sometimes you've got connectivity issues. So it does really, it's a different experience to sitting in a boardroom around a table or in a meeting room around a table and connecting with people. So I think shorter chunks and having decent breaks in between is really important.
And you're listening to Megan Buntine from MJB Consulting, and we're talking about how we embrace technology in these challenging COVID times. And after the break, Megan, let's have a talk about those that don't have online capacity, and talk about what does it mean for members and volunteers of organisations when they can't get together and do their volunteering and so on, and what's critical there. So here's one of your favourites, Megan. I think John Lennon, Nobody Told Me. Is that a favourite?
Well, I just picked it up because I like the line, nobody told me there'd be days like these, and I think we're all probably thinking that at the moment.
Thank you.
Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's matches in the bathroom just below the stairs. Always something happening and nothing going on. There's always something cooking and nothing in the pot. They're starving back in China, so finish what you got. We'll be right back.
makes a move. Well, everybody's a winner. I've nothing left to lose. There's a little yellow island to the north of Kathmandu. Everybody's flying and no one leaves the ground. Well, everybody's crying and no one makes a sound. There's a place for us in movies. You just gotta lay around.
We're focusing this morning on embracing technology, and my special guest, not here in the studio, but on Zoom, is Megan Buntine, all the way from Queensland. And Megan, we were just talking before your last song about groups and embracing technology, and I was saying to you off air that it's a huge distraction in a way. It seems like to me it's hard for groups to maintain their purpose and their mission. What do you think about that?
Yeah, look, I think it is really tricky. I mean, we want to do business as usual as much as possible, but for some organisations, it's just really hard. I mean, I think of our vintage car club back home, and a number of our members, in fact, I'd say the vast majority of our members are probably over 65 or even over 70. So in terms of being in a vulnerable cohort for COVID, that was an issue. So it was actually back in late February that they suspended the car run activities. And like, we have three a month of those. So that's, you know, significant opportunities for people to connect with other people that's yes. No longer there. And I just got an email actually overnight that to say that they're going to recommence activities, but they're only doing 10 people at a time. So you've got to book in. So that's been, you know, what, a good 3, 4, even up to 5 months now that they've effectively just been, you know, marking time and haven't been able to work on what their purposes are. So for some organisations, it is tricky. So it's not necessarily going to be easy to just have business as usual or find alternative ways to do our business.
Mm. Can you think of an example of a group, putting you on the spot again, where they have embraced technology and run their meetings or done things differently?
Yeah, look, I think Healesville Toastmasters actually is a really good example of that. The way that the organisation has obviously, so much of what the organisation does is coming together, having those meetings, practicing skills, and so on and so forth. And whilst it might be a little bit different and maybe not as effective as doing it face-to-face, it's still a really good alternative in these times to be able to have your meetings online, to be able to get your guest speakers in and do those sorts of things. So I imagine there's probably things that you're doing there that perhaps you've not done before. It's forced you to think outside of the square and come up with new ways of doing things, do you think?
Yes, no, that is a good example, Megan. And actually, as I was asking the question, I was thinking, yeah, actually, they have done it well. But there's other groups too, I'm sure, that have changed how they're operating and as you alluded to, you know, have become really effective at that. So
yeah, well, there's another organisation that I work with, a disability advocacy organisation that sort of works more in regional areas of Victoria, but certainly statewide. And I was talking to their CEO the other day, and she was saying they're still doing all of their work, but they're doing their advocacy work via Zoom.
Wow.
And you know, why can you not? And in actual fact, it will, coming out the other end of this, when that finally happens, it will change the way they do business. You know, they're questioning, well, do we need to have all these office spaces? Can people work from home more? Can they do their consultation online? You know, think of the travel time that saves.
Yes.
They're going to be able to get so much more with their, you know, their limited resources. They'll possibly be able to service more people with the same sort of time and funds if they're not having to travel 2 hours to have a one-hour meeting and then travel back in, that sort of thing.
You mentioned at the beginning of this program about the importance of connectedness and for people not to feel isolated, Megan, and the impact on mental health. What about those people, perhaps older people, perhaps some younger ones, who are not connected via online technology, so they don't have the capacity or the skills or the technology, whatever, the hardware, to be able to do what we're exactly doing right now? What about them? Do they get left out in the cold?
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about that, I think of a couple of examples. So I think of my 82-year-old mum who refuses to get online. So for her, it's about lots more phone calls. And she's, you know, she's out, she's pretty fit and active, so she's out walking a lot. But I also think of when I worked, I was on the board of the Victorian Public Tenants Association, so the advocacy group for people who live in public housing. And a lot of the people who live there are very limited in terms of their income. They can't afford these sorts of things all the time. So I think in some regards, particularly around the homeschooling, the fact that the government has put resources into homes to enable kids to be able to do that has been just amazing.
Yes.
But not everyone's going to be eligible for that either. So there's going to be a lot of people who can't afford to get connected. So it's about, well, how do you... and I don't necessarily know what the answer is for everybody, but it's about finding your solutions that work for your circumstances and your tribe, and how do you connect best with those people, whether it's a conversation over the fence at a 1.5 metre distance. I think it's really forcing us to think outside of the square in a lot of ways.
Mm. I came across again a group yesterday in Dandenong, Southeast Learning Centre, Selen, and they were repurposing laptops for kids who were not able to afford their own and disadvantaged communities and so on, and they've just done 150 laptops. And I thought, oh, that's fantastic, you know. And so maybe there's businesses listening this morning that have technology that they no longer require or whatever, that we could repurpose. That would be great too. So Megan,
yeah, and certainly, I mean, there's grants available too. I remember when I was on the board of the VPTA, and they got a grant through Australia Post to get a number of computers. So they set up a computer room where people could come in and use those resources there. So, yeah, again, thinking outside of the square, what's available, how can we do things differently?
Mm. Embracing technology also has cost benefits. You've just alluded to the less travel and so on. So that there's actually quite a few other benefits, Megan.
Yeah, look, I think there's a huge range of benefits that we're seeing now. I mean, I think a big one has got to be working from home, as much as that can be problematic in some ways. I think a lot of people are loving sitting at home in their tracky dacks and their slippers. I know I am.
Hopefully some of you listening this morning are at home by the... Well, by the fire or something or other, somewhere warmer than I am.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, it makes meetings with people who are geographically distant far easier, and we'll talk about that in terms of the advocacy stuff. I think, you know, obviously it saves on travel time. I mean, if you're not commuting, there's probably a good 2 hours a day or more that you've got to do other things.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, quality of life, work-life balance, those sorts of things, I think there's great benefits there. And I think even, you know, a friend of mine who works for a big pharmaceutical company, and she's often flying between Melbourne and Sydney for meetings. And that sort of stuff, we've shown that you don't necessarily need to jump on a plane and fly to Sydney. So in terms of the cost, I guess, savings for the companies and also the environmental benefits. Mm,
let's talk more about that, Megan.
As much. Mm. Yeah, it's been incredible. I think I'm not aware of particular stats, but anecdotally there's been a number of articles that I've seen about improvements in terms of environmental impacts by, you know, effectively the whole planet reducing their travel.
Yes, fantastic. We'll talk more about this. You're listening to Megan Buntine and myself, Bruce Argyle, here on Community Conversations. We're going to have another one of your songs, Megan. It's The Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin', and I think a favourite of yours too.
Well, no, another one that I think everyone's just dreaming of going on holiday. So that seemed quite apt.
Thank you. Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, our regular Thursday morning program. Wonderful to have your company wherever you are, whether you're at home, well, many of us are at the moment, whether you are in the car dropping someone off or running somewhere or picking up something essential according to the things that we're allowed to do at the moment. I'm here in the studio, but my very special guest, Megan Buntine, is all the way in Queensland, and we're zooming in and we're talking about how we embrace technology and in new ways of working. And you mentioned earlier, Megan, that people are having Zoom drinks and coffees and things at the end of the week and so on. How's that going? Are we spilling drinks on the keyboards or something like that?
It's funny. It reminds me of when we had lockdown 1.0 and we were doing a little cooking thing with our neighbours. So once a week we would cook their dinner and drop it off at their front door and then run home and get on Zoom and we'd all eat together over Zoom. And once a week they would do the same thing. So, you know, I think there's fun ways you can do that and still keep in touch with people and,
yes,
you know, whether it's for work or for social.
One of my philanthropic groups had a network meeting a little while ago, and they decided they were going to deliver cupcakes all the way around to all the locations where people were having this meeting. And so the cupcakes were delivered, and it was a morning tea meeting with everybody having the same cupcakes, on Zoom. Yeah, it was rather funny. Yep.
Another interesting one that I've noticed with the Zoom meetings when everybody's in disparate locations is making sure that we do acknowledgement to country of all the different country that we're on.
Yes, yes, very, very important. And I know I'd like to say all, but most of the meetings that I have, I do certainly acknowledge the traditional custodians on the land that we meet. And I guess the challenge there for those of us is that we need to know who those first peoples are, Megan, in the respective areas, or at least how do we do it if we don't know them all?
I guess what I've witnessed has been just an acknowledgement of the traditional owners of the different countries.
Yes.
Not necessarily spelling out each one, because if you've got people coming from multiple areas, you're not going to necessarily know all that. I mean, I was thinking about my niece who runs training sessions via Zoom for like 700 people. She had one the other day, so you're not necessarily going to know who all the traditional custodians are there.
Hmm. Let's roll forward. How far will we roll forward? 6 weeks, 3 months, 6 months? Let's try and visualize a time that we might be on top of this COVID thing. And we're talking technology. What do you think will be retained? Which bits of it do you think we'll keep, or do you think we'll let it go and be back face to face for everything? Which bits do you think we'll keep, Megan?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. You know, I was participating in some resilience webinars recently, and the fellow who was delivering them was saying that people talk about, and it's a bit like after the bushfires, same sort of thing. You know, yes. You don't go back to the old normal, there's a new normal, because you take the legacy of the experience of what you've been through with you.
Yes.
So if we think about it from that point of view, the legacy of the experience of what we're all going through now is going to be that we have a better understanding about how to use technology. So I think it just makes sense that we'll do that more so. I think, you know, in the work that I do, or particularly the face-to-face work at least, I think there's been an acknowledgement with a whole range of different people that I've spoken to that nothing really beats that face-to-face connection. However, where there's challenges around, you know, long distances and geography and so forth, I think we'll be more willing perhaps to do it via, you know, using technology.
So we might not jump on a plane to Sydney for a meeting always. We might just Zoom in, Megan, instead.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, it's interesting, the National Cabinet, the way they're operating, I think COAG's basically going to be replaced by the National Cabinet anyway, isn't it? But I don't think that we'll see our state and territory leaders flying into a central spot to have those national meetings anymore. I think they'll be doing that as an example. And I think, you know, if you think about leadership coming from the top, I think that's demonstrating perhaps how the rest of us could do things.
Mm. Megan, we're rapidly running out of time. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask me a question without notice about technology, and I'm going to see if I can answer it. There you go. Your turn. See if something you've always wanted to ask me.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's something I've always wanted to ask you, but I'm curious to know, what is the technology that you've embraced whilst we've had COVID in our lives? You know, what's the thing that you've gone from not using at all to now you're using it quite regularly?
Well, it is. I know we've been talking a lot about Zoom, but it, for me at work, has been WebEx and a little bit of Microsoft Teams as well. So there are other there's other technologies too. I know we shouldn't just focus on one, but it doesn't come naturally for me, Megan, but when I see it working, and I have been on some large conferences where we've had, well, in one case, just over 202 people online, and we had breakout rooms, and it was just like an online conference, really, you know, where people, you know, people who were treasurers, they all went into one room, and online room that was, and people who were presidents went into another one, and to see it work. But it is a juggle, and you really do have to, you know, you've got to master it. So I'm a 5 out of 10 in terms of mastery, I think, of all these things. But I can see how it can really work, you know, when you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think being forced to participate in this sort of way of communicating and keeping in touch with people actually opens your eyes to what the possibilities are.
Yeah, fantastic. Cora, I think I'm looking across here at Cora, and she's telling us we've got another song coming on, and it's Queen, and it's a crazy little thing called love.
Listen.
My special guest this morning is Megan Buntine from MJB Consulting. You can have a look at all the amazing workshops on governance, strategic planning and all that that Megan is involved with on her website, mjbconsulting.net.au. There's all sorts of free resources on there as well for not-for-profits and community groups and so on. And we've been talking this morning about embracing technology. If you've missed this morning's session and you want to have a look, it'll be podcast very shortly and available on the Yarra Valley FM website. Megan, staying at home seems like it's a good thing to do, particularly in the middle of winter, and sometimes that has benefits, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, back to the thing of technology and the benefits of that and what are we going to take out of this, I think that, you know, I certainly find, you know, on a cold winter's night, the last thing I want to do is go out to a meeting and take the chances with the wildlife on the road. So I think this is a really positive way that we can potentially engage more people in our evening meetings, our committee meetings, our board meetings. If they can do it from the comfort of their own living room, it's going to be much more appealing potentially than going out to a meeting. And not just, you know, board and committee meetings, but it's just our general meetings, whatever it is we do when we get together and work towards achieving the purposes of whatever our organisation's established for.
And a good planning time, wouldn't you think, Megan? So you want to make plans for the future or make plans for an upcoming event or some kind of service project or whatever you're doing? Yeah,
certainly. I've found myself, and I know others have, that this time where we've not been able to do a lot of things has been a really good time to, you know, rethink and reset and reassess priorities. It's not just all about cleaning out the garage and, you know, doing more cooking. you know, it's a good time to have some downtime to think about, well, what's next? Are the priorities and the goals that we're working towards as an organisation the direction that we want to go in? It gives you that headspace, I guess, while you're not so focused on the day-to-day doing of what you do, you can actually do some forward planning. Yep.
And on that happy note, Megan, we are out of time. And guests, listeners, everyone who's been involved in the program this morning, a big thank you. It's been wonderful having this conversation. Thanks, Megan. Thanks, Cora. And listeners, thanks for being a part of the program. Look forward to your company again, same time next week.